views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
How are you this evening? Welcome in. Namaste, namaste. How are you, beautiful Black Rose? I'm well, and hello to all of our listening audience out there, to our listening audience. We thank you for tuning in. We will have a special guest tonight, Denise LaSalle, Queen of
Oh, I'm really excited about hearing her. From her, yes. I haven't heard from her in ages.
Mm-hmm.
She's wonderful.
She has a great project that she's working on, something that's very near and dear to my heart, but I'll hold that until she joins us.
Great.
And
how in the world did you swing that?
Oh, yes, yes. You know, being from Memphis, we love our blues, people like Denise Michelle, B.B. King, Al Green. Willie Mitchell was actually one of her mentors. I just found out. You know, Willie Mitchell with Al Green, and he was a very, very popular producer in Memphis. So.
Yeah, I remember Willie Mitchell.
Yes, Willie Mitchell. Certainly. Yeah. So we'll hear from her, and she'll speak with us about B.B. King, because she's known as Queen of the Blues, as he is known as King of the Blues.
Right, right, she sure is.
Now, some people may not be quite familiar with some of her music if you're not from the southern area or a blues, what is it, aficionado? How do you say that? Aficionado? Like a blues connoisseur? Yeah,
right.
Close enough. So, yeah, it's close enough. You know what I'm saying. So anyway, Denise LaSalle came out with this very, how do you say, I would say a dangerous or even scandalous song. A couple of them, but one of them was Lick It Before You Stick It. You know how the blues are. The blues just tell it like it is.
Yeah, they tell it like it is.
Lick it before you stick it. And I don't know what you're going to lick or what you're going to stick, but that's just the way it goes on. So she has that one. That was like a big hit in the cafe. And also Drop That Zero. Now, when she came out with that Zero and Get With That Hero,
Like
a ladies' anthem. I believe.
Yes.
Like one of those Mary J. Blige songs.
Yeah, who doesn't know
like
that one?
Blues.
Wow.
Drop That Zero.
So
I'll play that for us tonight.
Okay.
And now, one of my favorites by Miss Denise LaSalle, Queen of the Blues, was Trapped by This Thing Called Love.
Oh, yeah, I love that one, too.
Trapped by This Thing Called Love. So I really, really enjoyed it. Oh, let me see. I think this is Mother Hattie. Mother Hattie, I'm coming to you. Hi, Mother Hattie. Welcome in.
Hello, and thank you.
Yes, and how are you?
Great.
You doing good?
Excellent.
Super. We were just talking about some of Miss Denise LaSalle, Queen of the Blues, All
right.
I am going to...
Hi, Mother Hattie.
Hey there. How are ya?
I'm wonderful. Splendid. Splendid.
Good to hear you.
Don't mess with my tutu. Y'all remember that?
All right. And don't all mess right. with my tutu.
Yes, that's another right. one. Don't mess
and nothing, and nothing else. Don't mess
Right.
Oh, you know what, Mother Hattie, did you make it to church today?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I was going to ask you to share a word with us for people like me here to go to church. Maybe you could have shared a word or something. Well, that's okay. Maybe another time. Anybody have any good news? I don't want to hear any of that bad news. I don't want to hear about who got shot, who died. I want to hear something. Anybody have any good news tonight?
Well, what was that was on when I first clicked on at 9 o'clock? Something about help from Cubans if they need our help and freedom and liberation of political prisoners. Was that yours or was it from a previous radio broadcast?
Oh, okay, that was a political prisoner radio that comes on right before the Lotus Place.
So that was interesting to hear.
Maybe Scotty will be able to tune in a little bit at some point and give us an update on that. I didn't get a chance to hear that.
Yeah.
I always go back and listen to these shows on demand.
Okay.
Just go on to blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Uh-huh.
And you'll see the whole list of all of the various radio shows that air on the network, and so you can just click on there and go through the archives. But it's not just for the Lotus Place, that's for every show. Like Political Prisoner Radio, that's a really good show. Mother Hattie and I are going to get involved with Political Prisoner Radio show also, so that we can finish complete developing our list. Yeah. Well, Mother Hattie, you had a great show last time, this past Tuesday, I believe it was. This past Tuesday?
Yes.
And your show, Mother Hattie's show, airs Women United on Tuesdays, 2 p.m. Central Time. Tune in to Mother Hattie. What's your number, Mother Hattie, for that show?
My number is 215-347-8717. I have a little good news I heard here.
Okay.
And it was about LeBron James. And he introduced a program that will help parents obtain their GED for free.
Really?
Okay.
For free.
Okay. Great. So it's like
a black man trying to do a little something in the community.
Yeah. Oh, go LeBron.
I'm telling you.
And he gives up.
Make him out of a lie.
Yeah, because that's all some people need is that GED, and they'll go to college and stomp them down. I'm serious.
Oh, really?
I've seen a lot of smart people. All they need is their GED. They ran into difficulties trying to get out of this traditional, quote, high school setting.
Yes.
And they're very bright, just brilliant people. But they can't get in anybody's college because they don't have a high school diploma or a GED, or they can't do this or they can't do that. So each of those degrees is basically a gateway into something else, a stepping stone for people. So, you know, if you have your GED, you can open certain doors. If you have your bachelor's degree, you can open certain doors. If you have your master's degree, you can open certain doors. If you have your PhD, you can open certain doors. I have literally seen, and this has been so astonishing, it was a young lady that I ministered to. She was at a homeless shelter when I first met her. She did not have anything. She had dropped out of school. She had been a product of some stuff as a child growing up. She had no GED. Let me tell you, I feel so proud of her. Because you know what she's working on now? Her master's degree.
Mm.
And she was no spring chicken. When I met her, she was in her 30s. and she is now working on her master's degree. And I haven't seen her in a long time, but she may be there, and she may be finished with it now, because I kind of lost contact with her. But, I mean, the people at my church encouraged her. We helped. We, you know, did what we could do, money-wise, financial. All people need is a little bit of help.
Quite often, that's what it is. You just need a little help. Like you said, some people get sidetracked.
And encouragement.
Things happen. All kinds of things happen. And sometimes, people like me, I went straight to college right after high school. Spent 3 years in college. Still didn't know what I wanted to do, so I dropped out. I didn't know. And so, I mean, I went back. And
I bet you know what you want to do now.
I mean, really, I've always really kind of pretty much known what I wanted to do, but I just, you know, wasn't able to do it.
Didn't want to do it,
I wanted to, but I couldn't do it. That's a whole other story. It happens.
That's good news. Yay,
that is good news. That's very good news.
It sure is. It's good to hear one of our own doing something for our own, you know, the community. Giving back. Giving back what you have been given.
Yes. Quite often we don't hear those good stories about people like LeBron or Tupac, who used to do quite a bit giving back to the community. And you know what? Now, y'all know how I love me and my documentary. And then even Pablo Escobar, you know, they said he was like one of the worst drug dealers ever because he was just making billions of dollars that the United States really couldn't get their hands on, or whatever the case. But anyway, Pablo used to give to the poor. That's why it was difficult for people to come up against him initially, because he gave to the poor. You know, so, you reach back and remember people. You can sometimes have people in your corner, like, even with, especially black people, like Tiger Woods. Even though Tiger Woods said he was cannibal Asian, we still were supporting him, watching golf. Like me.
Like we never had before.
Yeah, I never really watched too much golf, but darn sure was trying to watch and support Tiger. So anyway, that's lovely. So I want to also play a couple of songs from Denise. Some of those songs will be mentioned as we await her call. But that's great news. Aja, did you have anything that you would like to share?
No, I don't have anything tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to play one of her songs. And I think I'll play... since we're talking about the blues, and this is going into the blues, let's just start it off with some down-home blues here. So, here we are.
Ooh, I'm mad as hell tonight, y'all. My car broke down, and I've been walking all night long trying to find my man. The nigga must be hiding, because I can't find his ass nowhere. I done spent my last dime on a bottle of Chevy. I'm high, and I'm ready for anything now. You know what they say about if you can't love the one you want, you got to love the one you with, huh? Well, I just called up an old flame of man. He told me that the party was jumping and to come on over, we're going to play some sweet music and we're going to get down, huh? So if anybody out there see that man of mine, you tell him he can keep his black ass where he been hiding it, because I don't need his services tonight, honey. Nobody's jumping, and everybody's having a good time, and you know what's going through my mind. Do you mind if I get comfortable? and kick off these shoes. While you're fixing me a drink, play me some of them down home blues. See, I don't go out much on the town, and I'm not the kind of woman that be running around all week long. I've been keeping my cool, but tonight I'm gonna let my hair down and party on these down home blues. Down home blues.
And that was the queen of the blues, singing Down Home Blues. I thought that was a good one to kick us off with this blues show tonight. Remember, if you would like to share a comment or if you have a question for the queen when she calls in right after our break, just press star 6 and 1, and we will get you in. So, Aja, you like those down-home blues? Oh, let me, I guess I could unmute Aja, and then maybe I could hear her.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I did. That was perfect. That was perfect to start out. She's good. I love her tone. I love her voice.
What is it? She has that raspy voice or something like that.
She
just has that voice. I like that. I like that.
Very strong.
And being from Memphis, we just love the blues and that soul, good down-home cafe music. And that's that cafe music. Call it the cafe toe-tapping music. So we'll hear more from our queen of the blues. Let me see. I'm going to play another one as we go into break. And I think I want to. Now, this is one that we mentioned.
You know what is nice about the music?
What's that?
Those blues songs, they always, no matter when you hear them, they always bring back such fond memories. When life was way different than the life that we live and that we see now and the world that we see now. Uh-huh. It just seems like, wow, you know, the memories are so fond that it seemed like it was lighthearted then. It was a different era, and it's like, wow.
People care more about each other.
Exactly. Even though she was talking about a man and finding him and car wouldn't stop, it was still like it was done in a way that was kind of comical and joyous.
Yeah, because you knew she was going to get with him the next night, you know, but that night he's on punishment,
Yeah. It just brings back such fond memories. And it's just like a strong cultural piece there. Some people couldn't even understand it.
Let me play this one here. This is one. This is one here. Okay. This one.
Men out there that don't seem to know how to keep that woman happy. I want y'all to take a little listen. See if you want to try this. Some men think the height of a woman's pleasure is when he's kissing her on her lips. And some men think the joy of foreplay is caressing with his finger. And some men think a little kid kissing is the answer to every woman's dream. But let me tell you, I'll kiss her if you really want to hear her scream. You'll make her feel good, but she can make her feel better. Say joke. If you really want to please her, just find a little man in the boat. You can tease it, gently squeeze it, massage him with your fingertips. But sorry, fella, the job ain't over until you take him between your lips. Wow, you're making up. Make
Lick it before you stick it. Oh my goodness. The Queen of the Blues lets you know exactly what to do. You know, they always say if you don't know what to say, if you don't know what to say to your mate, your partner, just play some good music and the music can speak for you. If you
don't have the words,
let the music speak. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come right back, okay?
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Okay, and we are back. And so we were listening to Denise LaSalle, Queen of the Blues, song Lick It Before You Stick It, giving you some instructions. Mother Hattie, you familiar with that song?
You know, that's the first time I've heard that one. I missed that one back then, I guess.
You missed that one. I guess maybe you weren't in the... in the cafe when that came on, but
I have not heard that one.
Yes, that's one of
very interesting. That's what Aja has been talking about all these times when we have the program. All these different techniques to use to please your husband or your wife.
Yes, put that record on, and you can't say it. Somebody else will say it for you. And we have with us tonight the remarkable, the phenomenal Miss Denise LaSalle, Queen of the Blues. Welcome in to the Lotus Place, and how are you?
I'm fantastic tonight. How are you, darling?
Oh, just wonderful. I don't have, like, the hand clasp for sound effects. So Yes,
that's great.
I know you're accustomed to hearing many claps, so we most definitely give you all of your applause that you are certainly due for being Queen of the Blues and preserving the blues. And we want to hear from you about all of your adventures, this new academy, your dream of making certain that children are aware of the blues, knowledgeable of the blues, and know about the blues, how to play the blues, listen to the blues, and just everything about the blues. We want to hear about that. Your fans and supporters have just been dying to hear from you, so thank you for taking the time to come here tonight and share with us. We welcome you. Thank you so very much.
Well, I'm very excited about the new project that I have going on. After the death of B.B. King, I was at his funeral, and I got to thinking about how we were losing all our blues artists, and nobody seemed to be trying to carry on, you know, especially the young folk. I said, we like Denise LaSalle, Shirley Brown, and different Bobby Rush and different people, we're trying, but what about when we're gone, you know? And I'm trying to see what's going to happen then. So I reached back and thought about starting a music school that features blues. And we're going to teach traditional music in our school, and it's going to be called Denise LaSalle and NAPOP Blues Academy. NAPOP is an organization I started back in 1984 when ZZ Hill died. It's called the National Association for Preservation of Blues. And so I think that's very, very that I think the name is very appropriate for the school, you know, to start putting in that school thing. And we're going to start teaching young kids from 8 to 16 free. We're going to get grants and donations and things that teach them free of charge to get them interested in blues. We're going to teach them about the history of blues, the beginning of it, and all of the blues singers that have gone on before us, and have someone come in and teach them the techniques of playing the blues, because blues music is not played just like you sit down at the piano and just hit the keys like any other blues thing, a note, or pick up a guitar, I should say, and play it like any other music. A blues is played with slats and different ways to bend those notes to make it come out sounding like it sounds, you know. And I know you've noticed it different in the way that the blues guitar sounds than any other music.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And, yeah, so we're going to have those kind of teachers that would teach these children how to bend those notes and make those blues progression chords and stuff. So, you know, to get them into it and let them learn blues songs and teach them how to sing. Can you imagine being at a music recital and you see an 8 or 9 year old kid go up there and pick up a guitar and play something that sounds like Muddy Water or somebody?
Wow.
That would be absolutely beautiful. It would just tickle your heart.
Wow. It would.
Yeah. It would be so exciting. And we're getting started.
Well, I used to like to see the children over at the Stax Museum over on Macklemore in Memphis. So I know your school with the blues and teaching the blues, it's so needed, because children, and I think human beings, and in particularly African Americans, we really truly connect with music. And when you connect the music with the teaching, it really enhances the entire learning experience for children, from what I've seen. Yes. And we have an educator on the phone, Mother Hattie. You can jump in at any time and share your wisdom, because I know you know all of this scholarly stuff about these children and how they learn better in different environments. What are your thoughts about the music? Or are you more science and technology oriented in the classroom?
Who are you talking to?
Mother Hattie. I'm asking her. She's a former educator.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were talking to me.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I believe in both of them. I'm going to tell you why. Mm-hmm. Because the arts are nothing but science and technology. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that you get our children engaged in science and technology is through the music, the arts, all of those kinds of things with them for the hook. Mm-hmm. It's all one. From my perspective, I am so glad to see Miss LaSalle do this, because I'm going to tell you, before it's all over with, they'll have the blues historically coming from European Americans.
Mm. Yeah.
They do that all the time.
Yeah.
Historically, I am so glad to see this, and I am so wanting to support that effort of a school like this.
This is a grand idea.
Because
everybody's
going
to get a chance to play a part, because I can't do it all. It's going to take people to get behind me for donations and help in any way they can, you know, because we got to buy the instruments and the building and all that stuff. It's a lot got to be done before we can get this moving, you know, because we're planning and we're picking a musicians who's going to help with this, you know. And we hope to have it up and running by the end of the year. We got to do that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Well, I am so certain that so many people would love to donate instruments and funds as well. I think Mother Hattie was about to say something. Did you have a question, Mother Hattie, or a comment?
Oh, I did. What I was going to say was this. Our people, we don't think in these little boxes when it comes to African-American children. we see things mostly circular and not compartmentalized, where you have your subject separated. For us, everything is kind of like the Native American. It's circular. Everything is connected. We see the connections very easily. And so that's why the music is very important for our children to engage in. When you lose all the music out of the school systems and the departments, what happens is it's kind of a fatality for our children, because that's the critical piece. They want it. Everything is connected. And because we sometimes are very, very kinesthetic and we're rhythmic, that's what disengages our children from school. So if you can keep the kinesthetics in, that movement, and you can keep in that rhythm, our children flourish.
They sure do. They sure do.
And I am so happy about this, I'll tell you.
I think that's a brilliant idea, teaching these children about the blues. And speaking of, like, the history of the blues, tell us about how you became a blues singer. Like, what was your first performance like singing the blues? Did you start out singing in the church choir? Or
yes, I did. I never sang alone. I was always with church choirs, duets with my sister, and so on like that in church. And never even dreamed of, singing alone on stage. I never thought I could do it. I was kind of embarrassed being up there by myself. But I always used to daydream about singing. I would listen to Nat King Cole and all those guys back in the old days, and I would just dream about the singing. And you know, and I used to daydream, and it was almost like sometimes I didn't know I was daydreaming. It felt like I was almost half asleep. I would just see a sea of faces out there. And I would dream that I was up on stage singing to a sea of faces. It's like looking out over the ocean with people looking at me. And I always say, I tell people, don't ever tell anybody that dreams don't come true. Because if you dream long enough, and I don't know, but dream without action, you know, you got to have some action in there. And for some reason, it came about when I was in Chicago. I was always a writer. I was prolific in writing and doing poems and stuff like that. And if something happened to me with writing I started out writing stories. And I sold a couple of stories to magazines at the age of 15. I sold a story to Jet Magazine, Ebony. It's the people that own Ebony, but the magazine was called Pan Confession, Pan Magazine. Some of you may be old enough to remember that.
I remember Pan Magazine.
I sold a story to them, and I sold one to True Confession. And after that, I really thought I had it down. I started writing so fast. And one day I came home from work, and I looked at and saw that I had gone to Chicago then. I left home at 13 and then gone to Chicago, and I had a job. I was probably about 17, 18 years old. And I found those poems laying down at the front door. They couldn't put them, they were so big of package, they couldn't put them in the mailbox, but they were laying in the vestibule of the building I was living in. And I got so discouraged, and I didn't know what to do. So I said, well, I still got to write these stories. They're in my head. And since then, I started writing them as a poem. And when I would write them as a poem, they would come to me with a melody. And I just started singing them.
Cool.
And I bought me a tape recorder and started putting them on tape. And so somebody on my job used to laugh at me for writing every few minutes. I'd go write something down, and they'd say, she looks so stupid. I'd write
That's amazing.
I can imagine that's what they were saying about me, because they were, what are you doing, girl? I said, I'm writing a song. I was so naive. I said, I'm writing for Jerry Butler. You know Jerry Butler? I said, no. I don't know that. But I'm writing for Jerry Butler. And I was naive, whatever artist I was writing the song for. And they told me, said, well, you all catch this boy that comes in here, got a record out called The Whip. You make the trip out, pop the whip. Billy the Kid Emerson. And so he came in. I tell you what, the year President Kennedy died, 1963, when President Kennedy died, he came in to watch television in the place that I was working. I was working on a bar, and they was, I think I was 18 or something. 18, and I may have been 20, something like that. But I came in, I was about 21 or 2 years old. And then he came in, and they introduced him to me. And he wanted to hear some of the songs. And I sang them for him. And he was impressed. He took me over to his house and played the piano and let me do a tape for him. And he took it down to Chess Records. And Chess Records wanted to know who was the girl. He said, she's trying to sell these songs. And he said, well, who is she? He said, well, she doesn't sing. They said, well, she's singing those songs. Why don't you bring her down here and let us talk to her? He took me down there. And they immediately wanted to sign me to a recording contract. And I was afraid to do it, and I would not sign with them or anything. I said, let me think about it, you know. Mm. And I went away, and I thought about it, and I had a dream. And this may sound funny to you, but I had a dream in bed one night. I felt the weight of someone sit on the side of my bed. And they said, you've prayed and asked me for a way to make a living to get you off your feet. And now that I've shown you, you won't take it. Hmm. And I was struggling trying to see who was sitting on my bed because it frightened me. And when I opened my eyes, there was nobody there but me. Mm. And I jumped up and ran through the house looking for who was that sitting on my bed. I know somebody was sitting on my bed. And then the next day, I just scared me so bad. And the next day, I was talking to a friend of mine who used to come in and talk to me all the time at the lounge. And I said to him, I told him what happened. He said, well, who did you pray and ask for a better way to make a living? Because I was really having problems walking around and standing on my feet. I had a female problems in my stomach, you know. I was always down in my stomach. And I just said, Lord, I wish I, please, if I showed me how to make a living some other way. Mm. But I never dreamed it would be singing, you know. And, but anyway, when he told me, he said, well, who did you ask for a better way to make a living? And I said, well, I prayed about it. He said, well, it sounded like God was trying to tell you something. I thought about that, girl, and it took me a long time to pray about it. It took me a couple of weeks to make up my mind to go back down to Chess Records. But I finally told this guy to take me back down there. I went down there and I signed a contract with Chess Records, and it was for 1 year with options. And I took the 1 year. They recorded some demos on me, 2 demos, and they never did record me. They had about 5 females that were doing wonderful on their label. Etta James was one of them. Coco Taylor was one. Oh, and they had Jackie Ross and several others. They had about 5 girls that they were already busy with. They never recorded me for 1 year. And I told them I was scared to sing on stage by myself. And they asked this guy that took me down there to take me on the road and give me some experience singing before an audience so I wouldn't be afraid, you know, when I get to recognize. So the guy hired me to be a female vocalist in his band and started pushing me up on stage to sing and putting me up there. I was scared to death at first, but after a while I got used to it. And then They never recorded me. 1 year passed. They never recorded me. So every time I would go down there, they would want to know, why did I take this man with me? And I said, well, he's my manager. And it seemed like that discouraged them. And, you know, I was real suspicious. I said, well, I've heard about people who want to take advantage of a little girl. And I was afraid to go out, afraid that they were going to take advantage of me.
You know.
And I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. So a year passed, and they hadn't cut a record. So I asked them out of my contract, and I got out of the contract with them. And that's when this same guy that took me down there recorded me. And he recorded me, and the record came out. Several years had passed by the time he got the record out. 1967 was my very first record, and it was a local Chicago hit in the Chicago area. It would may have been a bigger hit had it been on another label, but he put it on his label, and his label was small and didn't have no money and didn't do nothing. But Chicagoland area, and Gary, Indiana, and Milwaukee, it was a big hit up there. Yeah. So that was
the name of the song?
The name of the song was called A Love Reputation. I re-recorded it on one of my later albums. I did it again later, but the first version came out. It was a hit. And then when I really got the next big hit record I got was 1971. Mm-hmm. A few years had passed, and I did this trap out thing called Love. First gold record. I had two or three records in between, but none of them had turned gold, so that was the big one.
Matter of fact, I recorded
a song on a young man, Bill Coday. I did him in 1969. I wrote and produced a record on him that went big, almost turned gold. And he went all out in the country, working all over in Europe and everywhere on that record, and I hadn't even had it yet. And then I did three girls. I named them The Sequence, and I had a big hit record on them called Hey Romeo, a song that I wrote and put out on them. And they got a hit, worked all over the country, and I still had not had a record that got me out of Chicago.
Finally, 1971, I struck gold. I have struggled in
my life, you know. You don't make it easy, you know.
You don't. Well, I tell you what, Queen, let's listen to your hit that put you on the map, because I love that one, Trap. Let me play Trap, and then you can talk to us some more about Trap. Let's listen to this one. This is one of my favorites, I must say.
Somebody tell me, what is this man got? He makes me feel what I don't want to feel. Somebody tell me, what is this man got? He makes me feel what I don't want to feel. On solid ground, I feel myself sinking, babe. I grab a hold, but I don't think it's gonna last. I'm slowly losing my mind, slowly sinking, trapped by this thing we call.
Oh, baby. On this thing called love. Running around like he's your bootleg. I got time for you.
Okay. Wait, you tell them that's how they can send money to help me. Where do you tell it? I think you know
okay.
more about you. He's the one turning me on to GoFundMe.
Well, it's a good cause. Everybody,
yes.
You know, there's this thing, it's called crowdfunding, where you can help somebody. She's not asking for herself. She's asking for the future blues and for young people. And to reconnect us to our real and original music, which is the blues, all you need to do is go to GoFundMe.com. And look for Denise LaSalle. It'll come up.
Denise LaSalle.
Send her a dollar, send her $5, send her $10, send her $1,000 if you have it, because we want this school. And, you know, when we give, he's able to approach other people for the instruments, for the artists. Bobby Rush wants to help. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. So GoFundMe, Denise LaSalle. Look for her on Facebook. Denise LaSalle on Facebook. She's there. She's art queen. Unchained, the same person. Shake your hand, make your gumbo, hug and kiss you. Let's help her help the young people. Love everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
you,
Randy. GoFundMe is www.gofundme.com/Denise LaSalle Blues. So that's
okay.
GoFundMe.com/Denise LaSalle Blues. And so to donate, I'm going to donate. Lotus Place will make a donation. For sure. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yes, I will donate for sure.
Accidentally muted you. So, yes, thank you, Janet, and thank you, Dr. Schultz, for sharing that information. And we'll share that again when we come back from our break. Let's bring
and Women United, Women United will make a donation.
Great.
Right. And, you know, I wanted to say this, that we've already approached for the 501(c), and your donations could be
tax deductible.
Yes, so we have it coming. We have it in the works. The 501 is in the works, and hopefully we'll have that all completely cleared up real soon. But right now, we want you to know that if you donate to us, it can be tax deductible.
That's wonderful. I'll definitely make my donation as well.
And are you gonna set up your school where you would be like an international training center for Blues Institute?
What I'm planning to do, I can't move too fast. I got to get this one started. And I hope we can franchise it out and let other people do the same in other cities where I can go back and help them get it started and move on. Maybe we can have it that way, where it'll be franchised. For different
cities. Let's talk more about that as soon as we come back from the break, because that's a good idea. I love that. And I also want to hear your take on women and domestic violence. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Sure.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, and we are back with the fabulous Queen of the Blues, Denise LaSalle. Welcome back. Thank you again so much. And we were talking about your academy, your dream for ensuring that the future, our children, will know the history of the blues, learn to play some instruments, and keep the blues flowing and going in our communities. And also, I know that you've been involved with some domestic violence awareness initiatives. Can you talk to us?
Yes.
A little bit about
actually, go ahead, darling. Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's not just domestic violence. We are involved with violence. Period. In the United States of America, what we have is a violent country here. All over the world, people are getting more violent every day. And it's not just about domestic. So what we're doing, naturally we don't get the women in there because, of course, you know, I'm on the girl side anyway. And we sure want to stop that violence. But what we're doing, we have an organization called West Tennessee Cultural Heritage, which is my husband. Organization, and it's a 501(c) organization, and he's been in the works helping the community of Jackson, Tennessee for many years with the kids and different things. That has been what he was involved in with children, kids, all the way. But this time he's gone further than this. He has a thing called Unity in the Community. We're trying to put unity back in community and stop people from hurting and killing each other and all the hatred that's going on in the world. And so what we're doing, I've written a national song that we're getting ready to go in the studio and record called Unity in Community, Back in Community. And I'm going to record it, and we got a young man, a country western singer that's going to do one. And the same song is going to be done a country style, and I'm going to do it my way, you know. And we're hoping that we can touch someone with that. And you remember the song We Are the World?
Yes.
You know, remember that song?
Yes.
So we're going to try to make it that type of song that'll reach out and touch the whole world. It's a beautiful song.
We need that.
We're getting ready to record it on the 9th, I think. The 9th of this month, we're going to go in the studio and record that song.
And, excellent.
One of the things that we are doing. And my husband has the schools. He's doing T-shirts. He's got the banks and everybody around here interested in promoting this. They're donating money to buy T-shirts, and he's designed those T-shirts about unity in the community. He's got a beautiful T-shirt that the schools are donating them. The people are giving us the money. We're pressing the T-shirts, taking them out to the schools, donating them to the schools. And on every Friday, the schools that are taking them, they're going to allow the children to wear those they ain't in uniform, you know, but they're going to allow them to break uniform every Friday and wear those T-shirts to school.
Wonderful.
Is this going to spread national?
This is what we're trying to do. We're starting in Jackson, Tennessee, but this is just one city. We're trying to carry it to the other cities in Tennessee, and maybe it'll break out all over. But this is the one thing that he's doing. He's going to have to, you know, take it a little at a time until we get it there.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
Yes, that's a
good thought. How can people purchase the T-shirts to also support? And then people maybe could start finding out more about unity in the community and then spread around.
Randy, are you still on the line? Because if he was still there, he could tell you. I know that my husband has a post office box, 1686. That's the only way I can tell you to donate to this particular thing is
if you'd like, I'll help out, Monty.
Okay, that's what I asked. Were you still on the line?
She had me muted, so she just opened my mic up.
Okay.
I'm here for you.
If you're still on the line, would you please tell them how to help the unity in the community?
Yes. If anyone wants to give, they need to know that they need to make their checks or money orders out to the West Tennessee Cultural Heritage Association, the West Tennessee Cultural Heritage Association, or you can say WTCHA, and it's at P.O. Box 1686, again, P.O. Box 1686, Jackson, Tennessee, Jackson like the one on the $20 bill, Tennessee, TN, and the zip code is 38302. West Tennessee Cultural Heritage Association, 1686 is the post office box in Jackson, Tennessee. And it's tax deductible if you make it out and let them know you want that. And that's where you can get some relief from the IRS. That's the biggest gang nobody likes. So hold on to some of your money by sharing some of your money with someone doing something for all of us. And, of course, the project is put unity back in community, and you're going to hear more about it as it spreads from Tennessee, and it's going to go all over the country. And if you want to get a T-shirts, they're selling them for $15, so you can do it that way. But put a little extra. Just put 20 in and tell them you want a shirt. Tell them the size. And be sure to tell them that Denise sent you and the Lotus Place sent you.
Okay. So put a little extra $5 in there for the donation.
Yeah, and for the postage, too. We got to send it. If they want me to send it or get it put in the mail, put a little bit on there. On top of that, we need to say this because it has been said. Denise LaSalle has her own little store in her house. Y'all need to reach out to her and get her greatest hits. It's a 2-CD set with a lot of her great songs you heard tonight. Of course, it's $20 for the CD, and you put a little bit more in. That'll cover postage. So send her a little bit so she can send you a whole lot. We got to help each other. Where else are we going to get this music? B.B. King is gone. Mel Waiters is gone. These folks are going. All we got is the Queen and the soon-to-be King. I hope y'all talk about him. Bobby Rush. The fountain of youth, the man with all those girls with big booties, who's just friends with Denise. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, God, have mercy.
And we want to hear about B.B. King. Also, Queen, what was it like being in that same music industry in that time with B.B. King and knowing B.B. King.
I tell you, it was wonderful, and it was such a surprise to me to be there. I'd look around and pinch myself sometimes, you know, because I thought, all these people, B.B. King was out there when I was still running around in Mississippi, a little girl running around in Mississippi. B.B. King was with I remember when he was with a group called the St. John Quartet, and we used to listen to him sing on Sunday mornings on radio. And, and then my family moved to Belzona, Mississippi, B.B. King came to town one time with the St. John singers, and I got a chance to see him. And then when I knew anything, there was a record on the jukebox downtown that everybody was walking around talking about. Riley King got a record out called Sweet 16. And that was B.B. King's first hit record. When I first met your baby, you was just Sweet 16. And everybody was walking around talking about it, and I had only seen him one time. And, you know, to come up in that situation and then to migrate and go on, and one of these days after I migrated to Chicago, one of these days I'm meeting B.B. King, and I'm shaking hands with him, and I'm going on stage ahead of him, and he's coming on behind me, and I'm in awe of him. And it was just unreal to me to work with him and Bobby Bland and all these guys that I've been hearing about for years. And here I am singing with them. But, of course, at that time, his Coco Pella was the queen of the blues at the time. And so I was just, you know, new come out there doing my thing. And little did I know that I would end up being crowned queen of the blues after she died. It was just amazing, you know, to be in that company.
Well-deserved title.
Yes, indeed.
What was it like being a woman in that scene? Like, did you experience, like, any, what you would call maybe sexism? Was it harder for women to break in? Did women have to fight harder or be just so outstanding in order to get those parts?
One of the things that made it easier for me is the family that I grew up in. I grew up with the very religious parents who taught me the value of self-respect and not getting involved in a whole lot of different things, because I was challenged like everybody else with the drugs and the sex and the everything else. You know, that was one of the things that happened to me when I was going to Chess Records. They kept wanting me to come down to Chess Records by myself. And I understood that they were trying to get me. They want to know, why did I bring Billy the Kid Emerson with me every time I come? And I had to explain, well, that's my manager. But so, consequently, they never recorded a song on me. You see what I'm saying? And I'm sure if I had gone down there and let them take advantage of me as a young lady like they probably wanted to at that time, because I didn't count myself cheap. I thought I was cute and fine at that time, you know.
Exactly.
Wow. So, hey, I felt like they wanted to take advantage of me, and I
yeah, shit, they did.
Fast to my upbringing, my mom said to be this way and be that way. Now, that's one thing that I took up serious about, is carrying myself in a ladylike way and not letting nobody just take advantage of me. But now, when she tried to stop me from singing the blues, she told me about how the devil go bring me in hell and everything else about that, about the blues. But you know what? I really just couldn't let that happen, because I just prayed about it, and I felt like, one day I told her, I said, Mom, let me tell you something. I said, my singing the blues is just like getting a job at a place where they make guns and bullets. Now, if I got a job and they're making guns and bullets, and I got to put something on the gun past my hand, and I got to put a seal on it or do something to it, and it moves on down the line, You know, I don't consider myself a murderer because that same gun that I did might kill somebody.
Right.
I got a job and I'm making a living. I said,
exactly.
So I'm going to sing. I'm going out here and I'm going to sing these songs. And I was writing the songs I'm singing. So I'm going to sing these songs. And you tell me that those songs are going to send me to hell, and I don't believe that. I think, you know, I'm making a living. And, you know, she fussed with me and argued with me and talked about me until the paycheck started rolling in, and I started going home, taking her money, and going home buying furniture, throwing out all the old furniture in the house and putting in brand new furniture. Well, she saw how that turned out. She started, ooh, my baby. My baby, look what my baby bought me.
Yeah,
all right now. I had a mom in my corner. And I laugh about that now. I said, she really didn't see what I was talking about until she
saw,
you know, how easy it was to do the things that I still had respect for myself and
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And you know what? So many people don't follow their dream like that, and that's good that you did because that was your calling. That was for
yes.
you.
You yes, I believe that. Yes, ma'am.
I think that's a great takeaway because I didn't really follow my calling, what I felt I wanted to do as a young person. But that's okay. You say so you can always, sometimes I think you can go ahead on and live some of those dreams. So.
You know, and I got an opportunity to do things for people that so many people I know that didn't have certain things. And thank God I never forgot from whence I came. And I always tried to reach back and help somebody else. And so I think, thank God for that. And I really believe, I don't believe God will damn me for that. You know, you can't tell me.
Exactly.
That God is that
exactly.
kind of God. I don't think he's that way. You know, that he's going to, you know, give me this talent and then gonna damn me for using it.
Damn you.
Exactly.
You
know?
Yeah. And I'm out here helping other people. It's so many people that I was able to help that I wouldn't otherwise been able to had I not
followed
my dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a gift that you were supposed to use.
Yes, ma'am.
It certainly was. And I tell you one gift that you gave women. You taught us how to not sit around and deal with some sorry bomb and get our hearts broken. And so before you leave us, I just want to play this one because this was a very teachable, I guess you could say teachable moment type of song right here. So let's listen to this one, Drop That Zero. The queen is trying to put us up on the business. That's right. There we are.
It is time. To drop that zero and get yourself a hero tonight. Do it. Do it.
Oh, that's live.
This is for you, girl. I have to tell it from a woman's point of view. Come on. Put your hands together. This is the latest national anthem right here. Girl, you have been your finger to the bone. But that no good man is moving around at home. When it's time to eat, he's always at the table. When it's time to pay the bill, man said he ain't able. Going around bragging that he really got you hooked. Taking love to you with the man on your pocket gun. You oughta drop that zero. Thank you.
Record.
Oh goodness, you know what, I pulled that from YouTube, so
okay.
You know what,
I think I was wondering, was that from Europe or somewhere?
You know what, I'll try to see, can I find out, because I'm looking at it now, and I'll see if I can see where you recorded that one. I just love that one. Drop That Zero. Oh my God.
That was such a good message. It was such a good message.
I did
that song last night. I was listening to the difference in from the way I did it last night.
Really? Yeah. Oh, so you sang that song last night? And
I worked down in Marks, Mississippi last night, and I did that song, and I was just listening to it.
Okay. Well, I know they enjoyed that song.
But that sounds like, I was wondering, was that one of the songs that I did at, I worked at Morgan Freeman's Ground Zero, and they recorded, I had a whole, they recorded the whole session. I got a whole tape on it, the whole show. And everything.
Yeah, a beautiful gold gown.
And then I did one in Paris, France, where we did Malico Records had a tour over there, and they recorded me from all over in Europe. All that got a whole album out of me in Europe.
Wow.
And I was kind of wondering, was that from some of those things?
Well, this one, on this particular one, you have on this beautiful, beautiful gold gown, and let me see, the background, the lighting is kind of blue, bluish, kind of indigo-like, and the gentleman in the band playing the guitars, they also have on, like, goldish, kind of camel, more so camel-like suit, camel-colored suit.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And the ladies in the background, they have on, like, chiffon, kind of gold. Oh, honey, yes, this was a fabulous concert.
I sure would like to see that. You can't say it's on YouTube.
Yes, ma'am. I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you in email.
Y'all, I can go on YouTube and find it.
Yes.
I can just go on YouTube and look for it.
You
know, that song was such a delight. If I can break in for a moment.
Sure.
That would be, and it might be a bad suggestion, but Drop That Zero, Get You a Hero. That might be a nice song for one of these little rap boys, and y'all get together and remix it. And let the girls of today hear it. That would be like, ooh.
They need to. They really
you know,
do
hit
need
that,
to.
Hit that 18 to 17 year old, and you watch.
Oh my
it,
God!
It was,
you know where
the, it was.
You know that's where
so
that song came from.
Where?
Yeah. That's where that song came from. My guitar player, he may be the one that's on that thing. My guitar player's little sister was talking about. He was listening to his sister and her cousin or somebody talking, and they were little young ladies. And he said, and one of them said, you know what? You need to drop that zero, honey, and get yourself a hero. And he picked up the phone and called me. He said to me, he said, I got a song title for you. I said, what? He said, he told me he was listening to a little girl's talk. And said, well, the little girl told her, you need to drop that zero, get yourself a hero. He said, tickle me so bad. He said, I'm going to call the niece. And you know, I wrote it down, and I wrote the song from that.
Wow! Yeah.
Oh, really?
What's one of those little hot rap boys now? What's his name? Chris Brown or Kanye? One of them?
Yeah.
Drake, he's popular.
Do a deal with one of them, and y'all do a duet.
I'm crazy about this love that young man. I just don't know. It's become too hard to me.
What is he saying?
So he looks like he's had. He's the boy that born in Canada. He was born in Canada. He's looks like he's
Drake.
That's who I love.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a Drake freak. I love Drake.
You know what? Now that would be great. A remix like Mother Hattie said.
Oh man, that would be.
Yeah. Drake is very popular, so that would go.
That would probably go with the queen.
Yes.
Queen of Blues and Drake.
Yes.
Drake and the Queen of Blues.
Blues and Drake.
Then hop it up a little bit.
If he would consider me to do one of his albums,
he would be honored.
I would flip. I would be honored.
All right then.
I love it. Do a drop that zero and then maybe have a little.
Okay, Randy, get on that. Get Drake. Yes. Get Drake. Yes. Get on it.
Can I tell you another dream of mine? Yes, of course.
Is to meet Tyler Perry one day and play somebody's grandma or something in a movie.
All right.
And then you can sing.
I want to play
and then you can sing.
No more sauce. You could be my grandma, but you can't make me any sauce.
Oh, you want some hog head cheese?
No, I don't. No. I'm a Christian. I thank the Lord.
Oh, please.
He saved me from pork. Oh, yes.
Well, you would be perfect.
Yes, you would.
Well, it should be easy to get Tyler Perry.
Yeah, I don't know him, and I never met him, so.
Oh, well, you don't have to know him. We should tweet him. We can tweet Tyler Perry. We can tweet him. Because everybody knows
Denise LaSalle.
Yeah, we can tweet him and just
don't tell him,
make
it before you stick it.
Yeah, and have you come on and do a cameo.
Yeah,
and sing.
Yeah. Yes, that would be wonderful.
That would be wonderful. I think you got one of those. Can you imagine if Madea did your school? Oh, girl, let me do this.
Ooh, wee.
That'd
be off the chain.
How you doing? I'd like to be
my dear sister, too. You know, I said that a long time ago. I'd like to come here. I'm my dear sister.
All right. Yeah. Well, when we come back, let's see about Denise LaSalle being on one of Tyler Perry's
new films. It can be the Denise LaSalle cameos, Step In, Walk In.
And we just got to see Whoopi Goldberg, too. She's making a movie on Emmett Till, who was killed no more than 30 miles from where Denise grew up. And her music should be in the Emmett Till movie coming out.
Wow.
She left the area just about 2 years before, and one of her pastors got killed just around or just before, just after Emmett Till, Reverend George Lee. So she knows all about it, and they need to have her as a consultant. Tell Whoopi. We need to tweet her. We need to tweet her. Tweet her Whoopi. And Tyler, your sister needs y'all to like step up and put her into it.
Let's send out some
and send a donation to
Twitter campaign. We'll take a quick break and we'll come right back on that Twitter campaign.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, and we are back. I love that idea, Mother Hattie, that you brought up about.
We got to do the Drake thing, and she likes Drake. Oh, we got to do that.
Yes, we have to do that. Oh, we lost.
The and the Whoopi, and the Tyler Perry.
Whoopi and Tyler, these people are very accessible. We just need to reach out to them. Make it happen. Absolutely, I love it. I love it.
And I know that you could just
jump on.
Right, that's something. You know, when they do the Black Awards, the Essence Awards, and those kind of invites. Get those tickets and get on in there and get with those people because they're always there.
Always there. That's true.
And even Oprah, Sister Oprah has a show called Where Are They Now?
She does. Now that's a good idea.
We got to do a little work here. We got to get some work going. Mm-hmm. Where are they now? Get her on Where Are They Now, and then I know she's in with Tyler Perry because they're buddies, bosom buddies.
Yeah, that's right.
And I know Oprah could bring in Drake for her. All she has to do is make a request.
Yeah, sure. She can do something with, like, Drake or maybe 50 Cent. Maybe 50 Cent. Maybe one of those characters. Everybody likes him too. A lot of people.
Yeah, but she likes Drake though.
Oh yeah, that's right. She likes Drake. Okay,
let's
there
take
you are.
Next, if we can take a break from IHOP, we can work for him.
Please, let DMA get himself together. Queen, we lost you. I'm glad that you're back.
That was offline, and I'm back now.
Okay, wonderful.
My phone cut off.
Okay.
Well, we planned a lot of things for you while you were offline.
Got it.
Around Drake, Tyler Perry, and Oprah, and Whoopi.
Are y'all going to take some questions? I know all these people are calling me here and speaker. I'm ready to shut up because, you know, I can wait until she makes some more oxtail, so I'm going to be good. But I know I had some people call in. I know folks are calling because everybody wants to talk to her. Everybody.
Now, Randall's my secretary. He keeps everything together for me.
Well, you have to.
Certainly. Okay.
It's reverse sex system.
Just do your job.
Crazy. So let me see. Before we get, we only have a few more minutes left, and I want to see if Aja has any questions or Mother Hattie, and Delta's still with us. Delta, if you have any questions, because we don't want to hold the queen up too much longer. I definitely want to have you back on, though, to talk more about the Blues Academy. Keep us updated. We need to promote it. We can have like a telethon. We can have a telethon right over the air. People can call in.
Yes.
GoFundMe. Well, we can watch the money rise. And so we're just making it happen. And also the Twitter campaign to have Denise LaSalle's story on Where Are They Now. That was one of the ideas.
We need to get her on Unsung. Can we tweet TV1?
Yes. Unsung.
We're having a conference call tomorrow, and I think I sent you the number, Ashira.
Yes, I do have that. And that conference call, I'm getting some feedback. So that conference call number is, call will take place at 9 p.m. Central tomorrow. And the number is 641-715-3580. And the access code is 867-146. And I'm hearing an echo. I think I probably know exactly where I'm coming from. Okay. Okay, and let me give out your GoFundMe again. Let's see. Your GoFundMe, so people can donate for the Blues Academy, is www.gofundme.com/DeniseLaSalleBlues. GoFundMe.com/DeniseLaSalleBlues. Make your donation, your contribution to the cause. And before we get ready to close, I'll just share again with some people that may have just tuned in. Queen, please tell us about the school. And I think people can also follow you on Facebook.
Okay. It's an idea that I came across when I realized that all the old blues singers are dying out. And it's so many rappers and so on out here, and it seems like there's none of the young people interested in carrying on with the blues. It's going to be a dying art if we don't do something to save it. And so I decided that we'll start a blues school, the Denise LaSalle Blues Academy, with my organization, the National Association for Preservation of Blues. We call it NAPOP. And we're going to be teaching young kids from 8 to 16 to play the blues free. We're going to teach them traditional music lessons with emphasis on blues, with someone coming in teaching them the history of the blues and teaching them how to bend those notes and play the blues like Muddy Waters and B.B. King and all those guys. This is what we've got to have and get these young people interested in the blues, okay? And and of course, if anybody else want to come to this, it'll be just a normal music school, except what we'll be doing for the kids from that age. It's be free, and we need you out there to help us with your donations and contributions to the cause. Because we do want to see the blues survive. We're not going to
let
nobody come in and take our music, you know? Because you look around, I tell you what, these white boys are playing the blues.
Yes, they are. I'm telling you. Yes, they are.
They act like this is not our music. And this is our music. We started this music. And we got to get involved and keep it alive.
What city is your school going to be in?
In Jackson, Tennessee. It's the first one will be in Jackson, Tennessee. I hope to get it franchised all over the world. So we can get it started.
If you get it franchised, I definitely want one, because that's something that I've been actually planning, also a music and art learning academy for children.
Yes.
So it could, I think we have to put the music and the arts back into the curriculum. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I myself, I love music, I love dance, and I remember being in the band, and I love being in the band, and we just connect to music. Music is us.
Yes,
so
it is.
I love
yes,
it. And if someone asks you, well, Ms. LaSalle, I will write a check for whatever amount you need for this school, but just convince me, tell me, why is it so important for the history of the blues to be preserved? what would you say?
I would just simply say it's our music. We started it. There's a history of where it came from, and I think we should not lose our history and our heritage. We should not lose that. It's important to us to know who we are and where we came from. And I think the young people are getting away from it, and they're not caring enough about it. And we've got to do something to bring them back in.
I think it would be, we would see a complete change in the personalities of the children. Because I tell you, some of this music now, I know we listened to some crazy stuff when we were coming up. But the music now, I guess it sounds really, really strange to our parents back then, like when I was a teenager in the 80s and all of that. But, I mean, some of the music now, it is just so horrible and degraded. And I do want to see our children come back to what we called music appreciation, when we had to take music appreciation in our freshman year of college. You know, just appreciate music, the notes, the sound, the tone.
Right.
That's what I want us to get back, the frequency. And the words, you know, my mother and I, we were listening to some songs the other night, and we were listening to some old school songs, and just to hear, like, the words when the men profess their love. They weren't afraid to say, baby, I love you. I want to spend some time with you. I want to do this. I want to be here with you. I want to be next to you. And you know, the words, the profession of love.
This is what blues is our feeling. If you go back to where blues started, back in the slavery days, when people were slaves, and they couldn't say what they wanted to say. They couldn't talk about who they wanted to talk about. If a runaway slave wanted to run away from a farm, he would tell his peers by singing across the cotton field, oh, well, I'm going to catch that train and move on down the land. And he tell him he thinks to get on the train tonight and hobo his way to Chicago or something like
right.
that. You know?
Yeah.
And then when your woman left you and you feel bad, he's saying, I feel so bad because my woman's gone. And then when the woman comes back, he feels so good today. My woman called me and said, you're coming home to stay or something like
right.
that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a feeling, real feeling from real people. This is our heritage. We started it, and we should try to cling to it and make it, keep it ours, you know?
Oh, we should. Yes, we should.
Definitely.
You make me want to enroll in this blues class, Blues Academy, when it starts.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn. I would like to learn how to play the guitar. I'm learning the keyboard. But I also want to learn how to play. I wouldn't mind learning how to play the saxophone. I used to have a saxophone, so I should learn how to play the saxophone.
I always wanted to play the guitar, but nobody would let me play when I tried to get involved with the guitar. The guy that started me singing said, you'll have to cut your fingernails to play the guitar. No, I'm not going to play no guitar. So I had to just take my little lesson with the piano.
Okay. Oh, well, you know what? When I come to Tennessee, at the end of the year, I hope that I can meet you and maybe I can sit down at the piano with you and we can play a little melody together.
Well, honey, I don't play very well now. I didn't take but a little bit of lesson. I don't know how to play piano that well.
Yeah, I was all the way up
there. I'd love to meet you. I'd love for you to come down.
Oh, yes, I sure will. Well, let me see if Delta or Aja or Icy Hot, you have any closing comments, anything anyone would like to share with the Queen before we get ready to let her just go ahead on and just bask in her awesomeness?
Just keep up the good work, Queen. Oh, sorry, Aja, go on.
Go ahead.
No, I should go. I've been talking too much.
I just wanted to ask the Queen, how do you get your performance request? And you said that you just did something last night. And so was that in your hometown? Or did you travel? Or do you do much traveling for your performances?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I still travel. I was down in Mississippi. I went down to Marks, Mississippi last night and did a show. And please let me get this out. Anybody wants Janice LaFalle to come to your town or come anywhere to perform for you, call Rogers Redding and Associates in Macon, Georgia. And that is my booking agent. And the number there is area 478-742-8771.
Could you give that again?
478-742-8771. That's Rogers Redding and Associate. That's Otis Redding's brother, by the way.
Oh!
Yeah. He has a booking agent in Macon, Georgia. And you call and Mr. Redding or his secretary or whoever will book Denise LaFalle. I'll be glad to do it. So anytime.
Wonderful.
Right.
Wonderful. Okay, Rogers Redding and Associates. Okay.
That's right.
478-742-8771.
That's correct.
Okay. Great. Got it. Thank you.
Icy Hot or Delta? Any closing questions or comments?
Of the queen, just keep up the good work. We got your back. You got some more hands on deck tonight.
Thank you. All right.
For your dream.
Yeah.
And you know, I quite often hear people say that we can bring some of these former educators into these home schools to teach the children. We can pull our children out of these traditional schools that are just really, really so harmful and detrimental to some of our students, our babies. Mm-hmm. And we can bring in some educators like Mother Hattie to help with the curriculum and all of that. I mean, we can do this. We just work together. Like, you have this dream. People can get behind you and support this. So definitely go to GoFundMe and find her link for donating to the schools. You can also contact Women United to make the donations. We still have our donations taking place for the suggestive sandals. So we still have that campaign going on. But donate to Denise LaSalle. Donate to Women United. Donate to your favorite cause, a black cause. We got to support. We have to support and help each other. So thank you so very, very, very much, Queen of the Blues, for taking the time out to come and share with us tonight. We hope to have you back. We really enjoyed you.
All right.
And we love your music. Yes.
Yes, we do.
Do you promise to come back and keep us updated? And let's have another fundraiser for you.
That I promise.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Well, we love you and we thank you so very much.
We sure do.
God bless you all. Good night, Queen.
And you know what? I didn't get a chance to mention to the Queen. The Queen was our Woman of the Year. That's right. For
Woman of the Year.
Yes. I wanted to mention that while she was on the line. Oh, my God. I let her get off the line, and we didn't even acknowledge that. Yes, so she was the Woman of the Year for our conference that we had in Goshen, Mississippi. And I'm just really slipping. I'm really, really slipping because, you know what, Mother Hattie, I also did want her to hear our statement against violence, since she has the campaign against all violence, not just domestic violence, and we have our Women United statement referencing the violence, and she didn't get a chance to hear that, so we have to have her back. Now we have to have her back. Randy, we have to have her back now, okay? We have to do that. So, and thank you so much for hooking that up. We really appreciate it. Shout out to you for hooking that up. We really appreciate it and love you. So, Delta, I see you there, but you've been quite quiet. Hi,
Delta, what's
going on? You have any hot topics to close this out with?
I'm gone.
What's going on?
Oh, Randy had said something. I was trying to see Okay, I only have, yeah, he had said something just then.
Well, I did. Okay.
Okay, well.
What do you have for us, Delta?
Yeah, we have this young man that, which is a young black guy. You don't find this too much. He killed four people back in 2013. And he said he killed them because the Egyptian goddess told him to do it. And he'd been in jail, and they sentenced him to the death, where they waiting to see if he gonna get sentenced to the death penalty because he was found guilty and something. And so what happened is, the other day he was in his cell, they don't know how this happened. He took a sharp object and began to cut his penis. And he cut his penis 27 times, almost severing his penis. And he said the reason he did that, because the goddess told him to cut his penis. And he was doing it in order to worship the goddess. Now, you know what? We got some crazy going on. Some of these folks is just so crazy, and a lot of it is due to drugs. And this young man, he's a nice-looking young man, and he got the Egyptian signs all over his face, all over his face. And it's just so sad that the young folks have let drugs just really, really tuck them over. Then also tonight, we had a lady over in India. Don't ask how it happened, just Google it. Over in India, the woman had 11 babies. 11 babies. And then, at one time, you know how you have to stop for the babies to just come out? They said all the babies just came out right behind each other. They didn't have to wait, they just came out. And she had one.
11?
11. Google it.
I've never heard of 11. In India?
In India.
But I've never heard of like multiple births like that. You know, sometimes they have the babies coming out with the multiple arms and all of that, like some of the gods
right.
And things that they, deities that they worship. But that one right there, 11 babies just back to back.
11 babies back to back. And she, and one of them was, she had one boy, and the rest is 10 girls. Mm-hmm. And to me, I never heard of anything like that at all.
You know what? And that's pretty sad, because I know in some cultures of India, the girls, they're not prized.
They're not
the boys bring them with.
Right.
So she only had one.
They're pretty upset with her.
Oh, God, yes.
They are?
You know they are. Sometimes they become kind of violent towards these women. They ostracize.
They do. They do become violent.
Bring forth a boy. I want to say for a minute, what was it? Japan was like that or something? Or it still is?
Yeah, Japan.
And it's funny, the man's sperm is the one that determines the sex of the child.
See, they should be mad at the man. The man should be the one to be, should be checked.
Yeah, it's the man's sperm that determines.
Mm-hmm. You didn't do something like, even though they do, I have heard that there's certain things you can, you know, like certain positions if you want to have a boy. Certain positions
I don't believe
if you
in
have
that.
A girl. And like certain, I think it's like certain acidic type foods or something that you can. I don't know about all of that either, you know. But I've just heard people report that or something like that. Some researchers say that, you know, that people will say anything. They'll tell you to eat eggs for 10 years, and then they'll tell you eggs do this, and then next thing you know, eat eggs. Pork is the other white meat, and you know, then it's don't eat pork. Then you can eat pork. It's safer than beef. And you know, come on, they tell us anything. They tell us whatever.
Now they're saying if you And now they say if you have a child that's hyperactive and mm-hmm. jumping around all the time, they think give the child in the morning time a cup of coffee.
Well, why would you give a hyper child coffee if they already had a hyper?
Because they, listen, there's some study they got, and the study says that it's supposed to slow them down. It's supposed to do the opposite. It slows them down.
You know what?
You know who did that study? Coffee makers. Coffee makers.
You know what? If you trace the money back, you probably will.
I'm serious. People.
Coffee producers.
Yeah, coffee producers or people who have a lot of money in stock in coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever know, you know.
Because they're all entangled with the print media. I mean, all of these companies, these CEOs, all of them, they play golf together. They go to the
they sure do.
Clubs together. So they all
The drug they give children for hyperactivity and ADHD is they all stimulants. They are they speed. Remember in the old drug days, people would take speed.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they're saying, and that's what those drugs are. They don't slow them down. They give them drugs that are stimulants. They don't give them depressants.
So like the you know what now?
Ritalin is speed,
and Adderall is too.
Adderall is speed. Concerta is speed.
Concerta.
So all of those drugs are stimulants. They're not. So that's why they're saying coffee is a stimulant. So the caffeine in coffee, you know, caffeine is a stimulant. So that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
But you know what I read, that if these schools would incorporate more yoga classes like some schools are doing, that would truly help with the hyperactivity. But see, the thing about it is, too, when you send children out to the schools with the bowl of cereal, with all the sugar, too.
I'm going to say sugar cereal.
Yeah, that they're hype off their sugar. And then, too, at the same time, these are children. They have to be up and moving around. I would not want to have.
Yeah!
That's how we felt in class. We felt like we were being tortured. We have to sit. I mean, no,
yeah.
We're children. We need to move around. That's how we felt, and that's how a lot of children feel. And thus, especially African-American children, they be like, I don't feel like going to that because I don't feel like being forced to
bored
sit.
To
I want to touch.
Plus, it's the kind of material that they're discussing. The white man in this war, the white man in that war, this war, that war. You know, nobody want to hear all that mess.
Yeah. George Washington and the cherry tree, all that fake stuff. You know, deep down inside, children know all this is nonsense. You keep calling these Indians savages, but it seemed like they were here first and some people came.
Yeah.
How you call, you know, we were able to, like, put that together, and it just didn't sound right, and we just didn't like it. You know, I hated school. That's why I skipped classes so much. I hated it. It was just, oh, my goodness. The teachers were horrible, and it was just, I couldn't wait to get out of there. I would just skip as many classes as I could possibly get away with. I think my ninth grade year, I missed so many days. I couldn't miss not one. But if I missed one more day, then I would fail. That's just how it was, you know. But anyway, I digress. But look, ladies, thank you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are going to get ready to close this one out. And, Mother Edda, did you want to read the Women United statement on our way out? We only have
it. I'd love to.
Great, okay.
This is a working statement from Women United regarding the attacks on black women, such as Rekia Boyd, Ayanna Stanley Jones, Sandra Bland, and many others. Women United denounce and detest the vicious attacks on black women we've been historically plagued with and seem to have escalated in the more recent times. We are 100% human beings and deserve to be protected
and with equal justice under the law and other entities. The recent vicious behavior and disrespect for the lives of black women must stop. These are unconscionable, deplorable acts and actions occurring in a country that considers itself to be civil and democratic. A plan of action must be adopted and implemented immediately to stop the terror on black women. Women United is placing a call to action for all women groups, organizations, and men to rectify these crimes against the humanity of black women. To make your statement and to act to protect the humanity of our sisters, contact Women United at women.united7777@gmail.com. Thank you, my sister.
Woo! Very, very well read.
Yes.
Thank you.
Love it, love
such
it,
such passion. Peace and good night.
Good night.
Good night.